John chapter 20, beginning to read with verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. And as they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down, and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. And as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where Jesus' body, the body of Jesus, had laid. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing to be a gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and to your Father, to my God, and to your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today for the wonderful music, the hymns, the specials. Father, we've come to sing and to bring honor and glory unto you. We have come to grow, to be closer to you, to know your way and will. I just thank you, dear Father, today for the opportunity to come and be together with other believers. And on this day that is celebrated as Resurrection Sunday, but we know, dear Lord, that you have raised from the dead and you're alive, and we can sing a hymn like that that Toby has just sung, that we can sing that every day, and we should wake up. He's alive. He's alive. Oh, please, dear Lord, that you'll guide and lead us each and every day as we walk through this life. And we're here to witness and be a testimony for you. We're here to bring the lost to you. So please have us be busy about our work. And today, dear Father, if there are those here that do not know you as their Savior, that today, on this day, today is the day of salvation. So please, on this day, that they will come and not tarry one day longer staying away from you. Please, dear Lord, that you'll touch their hearts and show them their sin and show them there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Please, dear Lord. Again, I thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be together. Now, speak to all of our hearts. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As I look at the Gospels, and there's a wonderful message in each concerning the resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Today, we're going to be in John. And we will be this evening probably looking at Matthew and Luke and just enjoying the scriptures. So please that you would return, that we can finish the wonderful fellowship together. We look at the four Gospels, and there is no other subject that is spoken of so clearly and identified so well as the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the need for that is so great, because if there be no resurrection, then there would be no life. And so we need to see that today. You know, they concentrate so much on the cross and on Calvary and where the Lord Jesus died and he was buried. And that is also very important, because if Jesus had not died, there would be no forgiveness of sins. But also the scripture tells us if he does not raise from the dead, there would be no remission of sins. So we need to see how important this is. And so what a wonderful day we've come. But as we look at all four Gospels, there is none that is so clear, giving proof that he is alive, giving proof that our Savior is alive. There are many signs. One of the clearest, of course, is Jonah. I believe that's the reason the devil hates the book of Jonah and takes it just to be a fish story, because our Savior and two of the Gospels have spoken of the Lord Jesus himself saying, as Jonah, 3 days and three nights. And so all was told ahead of time, was prophesied ahead of time, that our Savior would raise from the dead. And so, and yet we find, as we read through these scriptures and many scriptures, that no one believed it. They had witnessed ones being raised from the dead, our Savior doing the miracle, and yet they still did not believe. But this is a wonderful, clear message. And if we look at 1 Corinthians 15:17, if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. So, my friend, it is important that we see. And so let's look for this proof, the proof that is in the Word of God concerning this resurrection. And if you go with me to Matthew chapter 28, we're going to be in the Gospels, other Gospels, a little bit today. We need to see what is there. Matthew chapter 28, verses 6 and 7. The angel spoke to the women, and specifically to Mary Magdalene here, and said that he is not here, he is risen. And then those wonderful words to come, see, go, and tell, that summarizes our life as a Christian. We should come, we should see it, witness it, trust in the Lord Jesus, then we should go and we should tell all that we see about our Savior and his saving power. And so in these verses of Scripture here, you can see in verse 6, he is not here, he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And then he tells them to go to Galilee, and there I will see you. And so one of the proofs, he is written, the place was seen, was witnessed, that the tomb was empty. And so, first of all, the tomb is empty. And the question was, why seek ye the living among the dead? And in Luke 24, you know, what a question. Many years ago, we went to a funeral down at Hannibal, and that was the first time that we went out to the grave, and we stood at the grave site there, and the preacher of the message stood there, and he says, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" and walked away. That was all the grave services. That was it. And I thought that was the neatest thing, you know, and got us all the way out there just to prove a point. But we did. We stood out there in that cemetery, and he got everybody gathered, and he made those words that, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" And he walked off. That was it. That was the end of the service. And so I have probably remembered that more than any other funeral service, you know, graveside service, and all the time. And so we look now, and that's the question. You know, we live a life, sad to say, more among the dead than we do among the living. He is alive. And as that beautiful hymn had stated, I can face tomorrow because he lives. And we need to understand that. Oh, we find here in chapter 20 of John that the stone was rolled away. And, you know, the ladies, as they went to the grave that early in the morning, that tomb early in the morning, they were worried, how are we going to roll the stone away so that we can get in to finish the preparation for burial there for the Lord Jesus, for our Savior? How are we going to do that? Because that stone is so big. And when she got there, the stone was rolled away. And, of course, we know that the soldiers witnessed that as the angels come presently and roll the stone away. And so we have so many testimonies of what has taken place here. He is risen. He is alive. The tomb is empty. The question comes, where is he? That was the question of Mary. That was the question of Peter and of John. Where is he? You know, it's a wonderful message that we have. He's alive. You know, the grave did not contain the Lord Jesus. That tomb, that great stone that was in front of it, wasn't enough to keep him. And we need to know that we possess that same power and that same strength. And there is going to be a day that he is going to return. And when he returns, that grave, if we have to go into that grave won't keep us. We're going to come up out of that grave victorious with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he is in the air to meet us there. And if he comes soon, which he surely could, if he comes soon, why, we may not even have to face that grave. But what a day. And we have been set free today. We don't have to wait till he comes again. What a glorious day it's going to be when he comes again. But to come by faith to Jesus Christ and to have our sins forgiven sets us free. And that's what our Savior did when he went to the grave and he rose again. He set us free. What a wonderful day. As we look at these words here, she comes and she finds that seeth the stone rolled away, and she immediately began to run to Simon Peter and to John and said that they have taken our Lord away. They was on their way to the tomb too. And so it seems that Mary, in her desire to come to see the body, to finish the anointing, isn't it sad, and we're going to look at several scriptures here in just a little bit, of the times that Jesus said, 3 days I'm going to be in the grave and I'm going to rise again. 3 days. But when you say he's going to rise again, what does that mean? I mean, were they expecting a bodily resurrection of our Savior? Undoubtedly not, because no one understood what that meant, and Mary included. And so she comes. Sadly to say, she'd witnessed the crucifixion. She had witnessed them burying the Lord Jesus. And she comes the first day of the week, early in the morning, and she comes to finish preparing the body, her and the other ladies. They come to finish. Doesn't seem that she was afraid of anything early in the morning. She wasn't afraid of the soldiers. She wasn't afraid of anything. She just come. Did she just want to be close to her Lord, even though it was there at the grave? She come early. I think we need to understand that we need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to trust in him early. Don't spend your life and waste your life trying to seek out the things of this life, but please come, and come early. Trust in him, serve him, praise him. What a wonderful find, we would think, when she got to the grave and found it empty. That should have excited her heart so much when she got there, looked in there, and all for at that time, if the words would have come back to her mind and into her heart, thinking, he's alive. But instead of that, we know the story. We know that she feared that they had taken the Lord away. Let's look quickly back to Matthew. We've got several verses. I just stayed in Matthew. Matthew chapter 16. And let's look at the times that the disciples and others heard our Savior say what was going to take place. Matthew 16:21. And the reason that I want to go through these verses of Scripture is because, my friend, I want to know that we are listening. When we say He's coming again, when we say that our sins are forgiven, when we say that we're to be serving and praising, when we know that we should be excited every day because He's alive, that allows us to be alive as believers. We know Mary believed. We know she was saved. And you look how so quickly they've stolen His body away. Let's look at Matthew 16:21. For that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go into Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, be killed, and be raised again the third day. Is that clear enough for us? What part of that don't we understand? Who arrested Him? The scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests. He died on the cross. He was in the grave 3 days. This is the third day. This is the next day, the first day of the week. What part of this is difficult to understand? Is there a part that you don't understand in that verse of Scripture? Let's go on. Let's go to chapter 17, verse 22 through 23. While they abode in Galilee, Jesus said to them, The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men. They shall kill Him, and the third day He shall be raised again. What part of that didn't they understand? What part of that don't we understand? Is that so difficult to understand? Let's go on. Chapter 20, verses 18 and 19. Chapter 20, verse 18 and 19. Behold, we go to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests, unto the scribes, and they shall condemn Him to death, and shall deliver Him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify Him. And the third day He shall rise again. Don't you notice it's getting clearer as we go to the picture here? He named who was going to do it. He named how He was going to die. And He said, in the third day I'll rise again. How could they miss that? How could they miss something so clear and so simple? Let's go on to chapter 26. And understand, my friend, this wasn't years before. This 26th verse, 26th chapter, Matthew 26, verse 32. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. That was in the upper room. That was 3.5 days before that Jesus once again had reminded them what was going to happen. And we wonder why, and we wonder how could they miss such a great thing. Seeing the empty tomb, how could they miss what had happened? They didn't have to go back. And you can go back to Psalm 16:10 later and see it was prophesied so often what was going to take place. But Jesus didn't require them to just remember that. He told them himself exactly what was going to happen. And oh, as those events begin to unfold, wouldn't that excite your heart to remember Jesus said that the scribes and the chief priests were going to arrest him? Look what's happened. You see him on the cross. It would break your heart, the saddest day in your life, to see him suffering on the cross. But do you remember what he said? The third day he's going to rise from the dead. And then to arrive that morning at the tomb and it be empty. And yet we're told none remembered. None remembered. My friend, it's so important that we look to the Word of God and we search the Word of God and we put that Word of God to our hearts, to our minds, that when the events take place that our Lord has prophesied, that we're ready. And please don't miss that he's coming again. Don't miss the words that he has died and he has risen from the dead. Don't miss that. Don't do as the disciples and as Mary. They seem to have not heard. We have ears. We can hear. Listen. Are you missing the cross completely? Have you not trusted in Jesus as your Savior because you just don't believe it? We're going to find later in Corinthians, Paul says there were 500 brethren that witnessed him. Over 500. And he says, and most of them are still alive. So go ask them. They'll tell you he's alive. All the world witnessed the crucifixion. And hundreds witnessed his resurrection. What a witness. What a testimony. This tomb is empty. He is not here. He has risen. And we find in the second verse that she runs to Simon Peter and to John, and she told him what had taken place. And Peter and John both ran to the tomb, to the sepulcher. We find in the fifth verse that he stooped down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet he went not in. That was John. Peter was behind him. It's always believed that John was much younger, and John just beat him to the grave, to the tomb. And Peter got there, and he went right in, and he saw too the linen clothes lying there. Witnessed the napkin that was about his head in the seventh verse, not lying with those clothes, but was wrapped and placed by itself. Peter and John immediately went to find the truth. What happened to the body of Jesus? They didn't turn to Mary and says, "Oh, Mary, remember the words of Jesus. He said he was going to raise from the dead. This is the third day." But instead of that, they raced to the empty tomb. Looked in. Peter went right in. What did he see? He saw the grave clothes as if the Lord Jesus' body had just been slipped out of it. And that was wrapped around his head, was folded and laid to another place. That's what they saw. Where did the body go? It was evident that it was not stolen. Been stolen, they would have taken the body with the grave clothes on. He wouldn't have taken time to take the napkin around his head to neatly fold it and put it in another place. It would have been impossible to get the grave clothes to lay just that way. Proof. He's alive. The stone was rolled away. The tomb was empty. The napkin around his head was laid another place. The grave cloth was just laying there just as if the body was there. Just the body was gone. It folded down. Proof. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, we're told in John chapter 11, that when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said to them, "Loose him, let him go." That was Lazarus. But you see, Jesus is never going to die again. No more. Sin and death hath no more dominion, no more control. Jesus didn't need the grave clothes. He was arrayed in glory. What a beautiful day. We're told in the 8th verse that John saw and believed. The 9th verse, "And as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again." You know, we miss so much when we don't listen. We don't listen to the Spirit of God when we're studying His Word. We don't listen to the teachers. The teachers proclaim the Word, whether it's in Sunday school or the Message. Sometimes I think we think we've heard something so often that there's nothing new for me to learn. And so you're not allowing the Spirit of God to teach you. And every time the Word of God is proclaimed, there's something there for each one of us to learn. Every time. You know, this is the 21st time that I have had the opportunity here to preach this message of the resurrection. Whether it be the Gospel of Matthew or whichever one that the Lord led me to do that Sunday. But 21 times. How many more times am I going to have the opportunity to proclaim this same sweet, wonderful message? Another 5 times, another 10, another 20. You believe he'll tarry that long? I don't believe he will. I believe he's coming, and he's coming soon. So will I have one more time to stand here on Resurrection Sunday and proclaim this sweet message? He's alive. There's proof, my friend. He's alive. One more time? You know, maybe not even that. This may be the last time that we're together here to hear these words. What wonderful words. Listen. We need to listen. It continues then, the 11th through the 13th verse. We're back with Mary. And as the disciples went away in the 10th verse, we find Mary now is at the sepulcher, and she is still crying and weeping. And she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and she sees two angels of white sitting there, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had laid. And they said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" And she said unto them, "Because they have taken my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him." And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, but knew not that it was Jesus. Isn't it sad that Mary come weeping, still thinking that her Savior had been stolen? The body was gone. She was not looking for the resurrection. She didn't believe that there was true life be found in Jesus. She believed, but she didn't see the need for the resurrection. Why weeping? That was the question. She missed this glorious resurrection. She missed that day. I hope that you don't miss that day. Well, we find the next situation here with Mary was the Lord Jesus standing right there. And Jesus began to speak to her, but she didn't realize that it was him. Again, she believed he was the Son of God, but she missed the resurrection. Don't miss the resurrection. Don't miss the coming of our Savior that is going to give us our glorified bodies. I hope you believe that Jesus is God. I hope that you believe that He lived a sinless, perfect life. I hope that you believe that He died for our sins. And I hope that you believe that He rose again on the third day. And I hope that you have a personal relationship with Him, with the Lord Jesus, our living God. Does not recognize. She thought in the 15th verse it was the gardener. She supposed that he had something to do with it, or at least maybe he would know. And so she says, "Wherever you've laid him, I'll go get him. I'll take care of him." Mary was the first at the tomb. Mary was the first to see Jesus. And Mary was the first to be spoken to by our Lord. Mary knew how important her Savior was to her. She had been set free from the demons. She knew what life and victory was. And I think the longer sometimes we're saved, the more we kind of forget what it was like to be under the bondage of sin. And we forget how great a gift He has given us with our Savior, the Lord Jesus. In the 16th verse, when her name was spoken, that was it. We've had the stone rolled away, we've had the empty tomb, we've had the napkin, we've had the linen clothes lying there. Now Mary has witnessed face to face her Savior risen from the dead. And she had spoken to Him. Proof. It says in the 17th verse, "Touch me not." Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. And so to finish the work, why, He still needed to present His precious blood to His Father in heaven. That needed to be done. We know that on the 14th day of Nisan was the crucifixion. The 15th through the 17th was He was buried. The 18th day is the first fruits, the resurrection. That's according to the Jewish calendar. That was Passover. Our Savior was our Passover lamb. The high priest would present before God the first fruits of the barley harvest. And that's what this represented. Jesus Himself being the first fruits, Jesus Himself being the high priest, He has completed the law in every way. And the last part of that verse of Scripture, the 17th verse, "I ascend unto my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." He needed to go before His Father with the perfect offering. And this offering was His precious blood. And you can see that in Hebrews chapter 9. Proof. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that He had spoken these things unto her. The stone was rolled away. The tomb was empty. The linen clothes were lying there as if there was a body present. The napkin was folded in another place. She heard Him. She saw Him. He has taken the position as He is our high priest. He's fulfilled the law. We no longer have the physical evidence that they had. They saw the tomb. They saw the grave clothes. They saw the napkin. They saw the body of the Lord Jesus, the glorified body of the Lord Jesus. But we have the Word of God. We have proof. It's true. And I hope that you know that He is alive. He is not here. He is risen. I hope that you know that. And I hope more than knowing that, I hope that you live it. I hope that you wake up every morning praising God that He is alive. We serve a living God. And God, give me your life. Give me your strength to do what I need to do today, to testify for you, to do what you need me to do. And it's maybe some thing that you'd think, what does this have to do with giving the gospel and praising God? I'll tell you what, when we come together, God's going to take these hands, He takes these lips, He takes our mind and our heart, and He uses us every day. Much of the time we miss it because we're looking for that one opportunity to sit down and share the gospel with someone, but our life has to build up to that sometimes. And so please, know that He is alive. He's living. What a beautiful scripture verses we have. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to read from chapter 15, verses 3 through 8, and then we'll close. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And let's listen to what Paul had to say here as he was testifying. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, He was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, He was seen of me also, as I was born out of due time. What proof we have. I hope that you know Jesus as your Savior. I hope you've trusted in His death and what He has done upon the cross for you. But I hope that you know and believe He is alive. All other gods and men that are worshipped lived, were very powerful men, but they died. They're dead. Most of those men that required folks to praise them and honor them are also in the place of torment, awaiting their final home, the lake of fire. And that's where everyone goes that refuses to believe. I hope that you believe today on this Resurrection Sunday, Jesus is alive, and I hope you know Him as a living God. He's your personal Savior. That's the difference today in so many. Churches today are fuller than normal. People come. They come to hear this resurrection story, but most leave, not trusting in Jesus as their Savior. Please don't leave here not knowing Jesus. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank You today for Your precious Word. I ask that You will guide and lead each one of us to move to do what we're to do. If it's to come by faith for salvation, if it's to be brought to a certain service, to be taken to a certain place, whatever it is, dear Lord, You lead us, You guide us. And please that we will listen to Your plain, simple words. And that's what it is. It's so simple. It's so plain that a child can understand. And yet we see that these grown men and women, as Jesus told them so clearly, who was going to arrest Him, how He was going to die, how long He was going to be in the grave, and then He was going to come out of that grave, they missed it. How much do we miss, dear Lord? How much do we miss because we don't listen? Please, speak to our hearts. Have us listen so carefully today that we miss not one thing that you would have for us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.